Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Alan Miko is the chief of the section of otology and neurotology at Northwestern Medicine. What they found there is less than 5% of potential candidates in the Chicagoland area have received a cochlear implant. Why do you think that is, doctor?
A lot of it is there are people that are just unaware that this technology exists. The other thing, too, is when people do find out about this, it is a big commitment. As I tell patients, you know, surgery is always scary, but it's a new journey in life, and it's a commitment to relearn how to hear again. The implants have the ability to do things that hearing aids can't. They really are replacements for the tiny hair cells in our cochlea that pick up sound, because that's what we lose when we have hearing loss. And so it does take the brain a while to adjust to this. Everybody's journey is different. So it's very intimidating to people.
Yeah, I have a friend who had one implanted. And when I told him you were coming on, he said, have him describe the process of relearning how to hear, because that is a big part of it.
So as I said, everyone's different. What we do know is that the longer that people have gone with sound deprivation, we usually tell those people it takes a lot longer to develop that. Part of the reason that we've started implanting children a lot more earlier is that the quicker you implant them while our brains are still learning language, you can have these children go into normal classes and schools as if they had normal hearing. You wouldn't be able to tell. But if we wait too long, we lose that opportunity. So if we have individuals that have hearing loss, since they were small and come in for a cochlear implant, they usually don't do as well. But, you know, people that have had progressive hearing loss have worn hearing aids and get to the point where they get no benefit, they usually do fine. We usually tell patients it takes up to about 6 months to hit a nice plateau, but our brains keep learning, and sometimes it takes years for people to finally reach a full potential.
And is there a percentage of hearing loss that you have to experience before you're a candidate for a cochlear implant?
So one of the things we do when we're testing hearing is we do a test called word discrimination, where we present to patients single-syllable words, because hearing sounds is one thing, but understanding what someone's speaking is what's most difficult and probably most important. And if that score starts getting down around 50% in each ear, that's when we start thinking about when we assess these patients. And like I said, everybody varies. I have some people that have hearing worse and have to do fine with their hearing aids because they can compensate. We have some that just need to hit that threshold, and you give them a little bit of background noise, and they may as well just be sitting at home quiet because they really can't understand.
And what does the surgery entail?
So the surgery is typically an outpatient surgery. We usually do this under general anesthetic, and it's a procedure that literally takes just around an hour to make an opening behind the ear and the bone of your ear so that we can actually insert the electrode into the cochlea. And then there's a piece that goes underneath the skin that has the sort of electronics that actually the audiologist then stimulates. Usually at our center, we have patients come back about a week later, and we give them the external portion. So there is an external portion to it that has the microphone and the processor that stimulates the electrodes that the audiologist programs. And they start hearing, like I said, about, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks after surgery.
We're talking about cochlear implants with Dr. Alan Miko from Northwestern Medicine. What about music? I was watching something last night, and there was a gentleman saying one of the greatest joys that we share as humans that boosts our dopamine is music. How do you, can you still listen to music? Does it still work as well when you have a cochlear implant?
So people can hear music. Some do better than others. But if you have a person that has a really well-trained musical ear that unfortunately lost their hearing and gets a cochlear implant, there are some subtleties that these processors just aren't at the point of picking up. We definitely know that patients who have hearing loss in both ears and actually get eventually an implant in each ear, they tend to feel music gets better once they get their second implant, but some of the fine structure of the music, the timbre and so forth, sometimes just isn't picked up well by the current level of speech processors. But most people tell you that they can hear music again and they're happy.
And it's been around since the 1980s. What kind of technology has changed a cochlear implant since then? I mean, is it compatible with Bluetooth? Have things changed dramatically?
So these are very compatible. So as I tell patients that, you know, a good number of patients can actually, once again, take a telephone call in that ear that's been really hard of hearing, and they can Bluetooth it to their cell phone. Other advances include the fact that these devices do have a magnet in them, but now all these magnets are MRI compatible. So there's been some, you know, big advances with that. The designs of the electrodes haven't changed too much. A lot of the changes happen in the processor, so the piece on the outside, to keep trying to find different ways to stimulate these electrodes to, for instance, hear music better.
And you said that it works well, especially for children, because it's a relearning process, basically. You're relearning how to hear. At what age do you start implanting these?
So with children, a lot of these children are being implanted anywhere from, you know, a year to a year and a half. So, you know, our brains develop speech and language between 1 and 5 years, some will say up to 7. So we try to get them implanted because if you miss that window, they don't do as well. And then, you know, as far as our what we call post-linguistically deaf and adult, so people that had hearing, had normal speech, but then started losing their hearing, I mean, those patients, they vary. Just like I said, it gets to the point for the adults when they find they receive no more benefit from the hearing aids.
And doctor, I don't know that I'm going to say this word right. Is it the Eustachian tube? Is what is that? Someone is asking on the text line, will it help with Eustachian tube distinction? I don't think I'm pronouncing that word right.
So they're referring to Eustachian tube dysfunction. Function that unfortunately has nothing to do with this, and the implant does not help that. That is the tube that goes from the back of your nose to behind your eardrum that you use to equalize pressure when you're scuba diving or going on an airplane.
Ah, and what do you think is happening? Is it just because our population is aging and there's so many baby boomers, or are we seeing an uptick in hearing loss because from the time they're young, kids have earbuds or they've got earbuds in. It's just the way it is, so much so that Apple is now offering a $300 hearing aid that is a part of their AirPods. So what's your take on that? Are we becoming a nation that has significant hearing loss? Is it progressing? And what do you think of these offerings by a company like Apple?
So let's take us in pieces here. So as far as hearing loss, I think, yes, we do live in a noisy environment. And, you know, we do try to have lots of talks with our younger patients as far as, you know, the perils of wearing earbuds or if they're in a noisy situation about protecting their hearing. I also think, obviously, we're starting to get more and more awareness and people are a bit more in tuned how they do things. I mean, a lot more people are watching things on their phone or streaming things on video. So people use their ears more than, you know, when I was young and most of our sort of entertainment was, you know, outside in the backyard or, you know, out in the woods somewhere. As far as these other devices, so, you know, the FDA and the government approved over-the-counter hearing aids for people with mild to moderate hearing loss. And so there are some of these that are very beneficial to people at a significant lower cost because, unfortunately, insurance companies, a good number of them, and including Medicare, do not pay for hearing aids. So these are coming in at $300-$400 as opposed to $4,000 or $5,000 for a pair of hearing aids. And so the benefit of some of those are fairly good. Fortunately for the cochlear implant, insurance does cover those.
Oh, that's good. That's not the barrier then. That's not, you know, 5% of people who are eligible are getting them. So maybe it's just awareness and information, right?
It absolutely is.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you very much.